We asked that question last week. Who's on a journey besides me in the house today? Anybody on a journey? Yes, we all are. We're on a quest. We're trying to figure it out. If you're in the same boat as I am, we're just trying to figure out life. We're trying to figure out what we're doing on this big blue ball that we call Earth and trying to figure out what God has for us. And we know that He's got something great for us. You know, if you have your program, we have our Bible and our scripture verses on there. And our memory verse that we're learning simply says this. It says, we proclaim Him who is Jesus, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And this is the part we want you to catch, so that we may present everyone, say this with me, mature in Christ. That's our goal. Our big goal that we're aiming for is to be mature people. Mature people specifically in Jesus Christ. Because here's what happens. When you are mature in the Lord, and you know the Lord, and you're growing in the Lord, and you have a vibrant relationship with God, maturity happens. God begins to do great things. Your marriage begins to improve. Your finances will improve. I mean, God will begin orienting your life around the things of God. You'll make wise decisions. Marriages improve because husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church. And then finances improve because you learn not to spend all your money and waste it. You learn how to budget. You learn how to be a good steward of what God gave you. So as maturity in Christ is our goal, that's where we're heading towards today, is to be mature believers in Jesus Christ. A mature church will do great things for the Lord. A mature group of Christians will do a mighty work of God. And I believe that with all my heart. So that's our goal. But how do you get to maturity? I mean, it just doesn't happen overnight. You just don't wake up and then bam, I'm mature. That's not exactly how it works. It takes time. It takes effort, a little bit of work. And kind of what we're doing for this summer is we're talking about reaching this goal of spiritual maturity one small step at a time. I don't know about you, but I do everything on like a third grade level. That's just who I am, you know. I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm just me, all right? So I'm just going back to the basics, and we're just looking at one small step each Sunday for spiritual growth. Last week we talked about the first step of giving your life to Jesus. And you know, it's awesome to see what God did last week and in the service. There are others that may tell you themselves, but just hearing the stories out of last week was just amazing as God was just working in lives last week. It just blew me away after the service was over to hear what God was doing in lives after last week. That first small step. I think some people took that first small step last week, and I'm excited to hear that. So we understand that the first step of maturity is to know Jesus in a personal, real saving way. So I hope today that you know Jesus. If you are in this room today and you have never given your life to Christ, let me stop right here and say, guys, it's all about the cross. It's all about what Jesus did on that cross, how He paid for our sins. And I would challenge you today to take that first step of giving your heart to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Okay, well, Kenny, I've done that. I've asked Christ in my heart. I've received His free gift of salvation. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. I'm filled. I have a future. Heaven is home. God is going to do great things in my life. But Kenny wants the next step. Okay, I've given my life to Jesus. Is that all there is to this? Or is there more to this? Well, let me tell you right now that if you're saved, you're saved, okay? And that means this, that if Jesus is in your life, if He's in your heart, heaven is home, period. But there are some other things that need to happen in your life to help you on that quest of maturity. And the next step, the next small step that we see, the great spiritual step that we need to take today is the next step of baptism today. Now, when we start talking about baptism, there's some strange ideas that start floating around, some bizarre ideas about water baptism. What is baptism? And there's some odd views about that. But before I begin to go in and explain baptism this morning, I want to tell you something real quick. First, Jesus modeled for us baptism. John the Baptist, crazy guy, big beard. He's baptizing them by the river. And here comes Jesus, and Jesus gets baptized. Why? Well, Jesus was baptized to identify with us. Second, Jesus commands baptism. He tells us to go into the whole world and to make disciples of all nations and to do what? And to baptize them. So He commands us to be baptized. Well, somebody will say, well, Kenny, does baptism save me? And we're going to talk about that. No, it doesn't. Baptism does not save you. But to be obedient as a Christian, you need to be baptized because He told us to be baptized. And the third thing is that baptism illustrates, it shows everybody all around you that you are a Christian, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One of the greatest stories about baptism is found in the book of Acts chapter 8. And we have it printed for you there in your program. And I'm going to read it. It's an awesome story. And this is how it goes. And this is after Jesus had died on the cross and after he had resurrected. And this is how the story goes. It says, an angel of the Lord spoke to this guy named Philip. He said, get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And this is the desert road, the Bible says. So he got up and went. And there was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. And by the way, isn't that what God does? He invites us to join His work already. He's already moving. He invites us to join that. And Philip gets into verse 30. When Philip ran up to the chariot, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he doesn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from him. That's what they were reading. The eunuch replied to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or another person? So Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning from that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and evangelizing all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let me just recap the story for you. One of the followers of Jesus, he's preaching in the city, and people are getting saved. And God tells him to leave that city for a desert road, to leave that city for a desert road. And he goes down this road, and sure enough, as God has led him to walk down this desert road, here is this guy in a chariot who had went to Jerusalem to worship God, apparently picked up a copy of the Bible while he was in Jerusalem. You know, he bought a copy of the Old Testament, and he's sitting there in this chariot reading out loud the prophets. And Philip, the disciple, he's walking up there and he hears this guy. And he says, man, this guy's reading the Bible. So he kind of gets up close to the chariot and he hears him reading this famous passage out of the book of Isaiah. And he says, hey, let me ask you a question. Kind of peeks his head over the chariot. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the guy says, I really don't. You know, I just don't get it. Anybody else like that? Sometimes you read it like, I don't get this. This is weird. And that's what happened. He said, I really don't get this. I need somebody to help me. And Philip said, well, I'll help you, man. So he gets up in the chariot with them, and they start doing a little Bible study. They start looking at it. And he says, well, let me tell you the good news. This is a prophecy about Jesus, and that Jesus died on the cross. He's God who was born as a man, and then he grew up, and he died on the cross, and he resurrected. He ascended. We can testify of this, and he can save those who believe and trust in him. This guy's like, awesome. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. So they're traveling down this chariot, looking around. They're talking about Jesus, and they pass by some water. And the guy in the chariot says to Philip, he says, hey, there's some water. Can I be baptized? Philip said, well, do you believe in Jesus? He says, I believe in Jesus. Brakes go on the chariot. They get out. They stroll on down in that water. Philip takes that dude, and I could just see them professing Jesus. He takes them under the water and out of the water to profess his faith in Jesus. And here's the craziest part about this. Apparently when this happened, God was now done with Philip. So the Lord raptured him up and put him somewhere else. Can you imagine that guy getting baptized? Some stranger comes along, explains to you Jesus baptized you, and then he just disappears. Wouldn't that be crazy? But this guy was so happy about it, he just gets out of the water and starts praising Jesus, and they go along their way. Go along there. History tells us that this guy went back to Ethiopia and started the first church in Ethiopia. That's what history tells us. We don't know that for sure, but that's what history tells us, that he got back in the chariot, went back to Ethiopia, and they started the first church in Ethiopia. And that's what's amazing. And that's what happened. So we see in this passage a really neat example of water baptism in the Bible. So let's just explain real quick, what can we learn from this passage about baptism? Three things real quick. First, I want you to see this, that baptism happens after belief. Everybody say, read that phrase with me. Baptism happens after belief. We look at the passage, and you can see there, at verse 30, when Philip ran up to the chariot, he heard the guy reading the passage, and they described the passage, and you go down to verse 36, as they were traveling down the road, they came to the water and said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? Verse 37 says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me tell you this real quick. This guy was baptized, okay, after he professed faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just tell you this real quick. There is never an example in the Bible, not one time, of a person being baptized before accepting Jesus, okay? It always preceded belief. Baptism always followed belief. So people accept Jesus in the New Testament, and then they are baptized, and they go under the water. Now, Kenny, why is this? I mean, what can we learn about baptism? Well, understand that before the guy was baptized, he had to have the scriptures explained to him. Do you remember that? He had to have the prophecy kind of outlined, which was all about Jesus. Here's the deal. You know what you need today before you need to be baptized? You need Jesus today before you get baptized. Because here's why. If you don't have Jesus today and you're dipped underwater, can I tell you what happens? You just got wet. Now, I hate to pop that bubble, okay? I'm so sorry I popped that bubble. And I say it with the utmost respect, but if you were dunked 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times and you didn't know Jesus, you just got wet. And by the way, I get wet every morning when I take a shower, okay? It happens, all right? It happens. So baptism here is not a saving agent. It doesn't save you. Instead, it happens after salvation. The man believed, he professed Jesus, therefore he was baptized. He had to have this personal relationship with Jesus first before going in the water. Now, there's many traditions out there that would teach, and I want to be very respectful to that, but I also want to teach the Bible and what the Bible says. We are a Bible-believing church, so we preach the Scripture here, and we preach truth. So I want to be respectful, but at the same time, I want to inform you what the Bible does say. I want you to know that there are some traditions out there that teach maybe infant baptism. Okay, you were maybe a baby, and you were maybe sprinkled as a child, so to speak, and there's that teaching that's out there. There are some teachings that say, okay, if you are physically dunked in water and pulled out of water, then therefore you are saved. So it was the actual water that saved you. It was a cleansing of water that saved you. But I just want to tell you this real quick. Though your parents maybe, when they had that time of dedication, that might have been really meaningful to them, really special to them, but that was really more for them than you. Because I guarantee if you were baptized as an infant, you don't remember it. Is that a fair thing to say today? You don't remember it. See, in the New Testament, when people are saved first, the baptism comes second to show everybody this is an adult decision or a conscious decision or a mature decision for me to follow Jesus, for me to be baptized. Now, what about, Kenny, does baptism save me? So if I ask Jesus into my heart and I walk outside and a truck hits me, a Mack truck just plows over me and I'm like Garfield on the front of that thing, okay, am I going to go to heaven? If you're saved, can I answer this for you? Yes, if you're saved. But Kenny, I wasn't baptized. Well, the Bible does not teach baptismal regeneration or that being baptized saves you, a personal relationship with you. Here's why. If baptism could save you or any kind of other act or work, that would defeat this, the cross of Jesus Christ. Because the cross was enough. The cross of Jesus was enough. You look at the Philippian jailer. When Paul and Silas are in jail and the jail breaks and he asks Paul and Silas, he says, what must I do to be saved? He says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus. And he did, and guess what happens after that? They're baptized. after that. Belief precedes baptism. It precedes baptism. The Bible is clear that the person is saved before they're baptized. Bible's clear. Water does not save you. You ready? The blood of Jesus saves you today. Isn't that better today? That the blood of Jesus is better than tap water or garden hose water? Yeah, we should all say amen on that. It's better than water. Okay? So, Kenny, all right. Baptism doesn't save you, so therefore it must not be very important. Wrong. Let me go ahead and fix you on that one. Wrong. It's very important. Okay, wait a second. Wait a second. You are confusing me. You just said baptism doesn't save you, but now you're saying it's very important. Yes. Yes. Baptism doesn't take you to heaven. Jesus takes you to heaven. Personal relationship with Christ. But, to be obedient as a Christian, to follow through with what God wants you to do, to be solid in your walk with God, to make that stand, you're commanded to be baptized. So here's the second thing. Baptism is immersion in water. Baptism is immersion in water. So we understand this. Look at verse 38. Then he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch, now check this part out. Say this part with me in verse 38. Went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now, if you look at the next verse, in verse 39, it says the very first phrase, when they came up out of the water. So we have here an illustration of baptism. Now, how do you go down into the water and then come up out of the water if it's not through what we call immersion? Now, immersion means to go completely under. Actually, what's interesting about this is that the Greek word for baptism is actually the word baptizio, okay? And which means, the literal word for baptism means to dip, submerge, or immerse. So the actual definition of baptism means to dip, submerge, or immerse, or to go completely underwater. Now, Kenny, why is this important? Why is it important to go under the water, to come out of the water? What's the deal with water immersion? What's the deal? I mean, I get you saving faith with Jesus. I get you. I'm there. You got to have Christ as a personal relationship. Now you're telling me I go down in the water, up out of the water. Why is this? Well, baptism is a symbol. Now, I do this in our one-on-one class, so if you have been through one-on-one, I'm sorry for the repeat, but you're going to hear it again, okay? Because not everybody has heard it. But this is my, what is this called? This is called a wedding band. That's right. So my wife also has one of these on her finger, and here's mine, my wedding band. Now, let me explain this to you real quick. My wedding band means absolutely nothing to anybody in this room except for my wife and me. That's the only people that it means something to. So if I was to drop this wedding band, and you would say, you know, I'd really like to be married, and you're a single person, and you find this on the ground, and you pick it up, and you slide it on your finger, and you say, hey, therefore I am now married. Is that right or wrong? You're not married. You're just wearing a ring, right? You're just wearing a ring. You're not married. You're just wearing a ring. Okay? Likewise, if my wife and I said our vows, and we couldn't afford a wedding band, okay? We could not afford one, but we said our vows before God and made that covenant agreement with each other, and we walked out of that service together, but without any wedding bands, are we still married, yes or no? Yes, okay? So, you find it, doesn't make you married. If I don't have it, doesn't mean I'm not married. So why do I wear a wedding band? As a symbol to show other people what? That I am married. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a symbol of what's happened to you to show other people and also to remind you of what Jesus has done. Actually, write this down in your notes. It's not there, but write it down. Scribble down Romans 6:4. Because Romans 6:4 says this. It says, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. Let me tell you why underwater, out of water is important. You ready? Because it pictures Jesus. When you gave your life to Christ, it took the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus to save you. It took the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus to get you into heaven, to give you new life. Jesus was alive. Now follow me. He was alive. He died and was buried. And 3 days later, what happened? You with me? So when a person is baptized, what are they telling people? My Jesus died for me, was buried for me, you with me? And rose again for me. And that's what it means. Isn't that awesome? That's what it means. That's why when a person is baptized, there's no, only Jesus would tell us that this is the way we need to do it. Because it's awesome. I mean, how else do we symbolize the death, burial, resurrection? I mean, it's perfect under and out. It's perfect. And it shows everybody, I am saved. I am saved. So why is it important to be baptized and to be baptized in front of a group of people and to stand up and tell them that you're saved? Though we don't like that, though we don't want to do that, it's hard. Why is it important? Here's why. You ready? Because we can't be ashamed of Jesus. We can't be ashamed of Him. He's not ashamed of us. And He has every reason to be ashamed of us. I mean, think about the stuff you did this week. He's got every reason to be ashamed of you, doesn't He? But He loves you. He saved you. He gave you grace and mercy and love. And that's good. That's good. So we're baptized to show people not how good we are. We're baptized not to show people that this water was magic water. I assure you it comes out of a garden hose. I assure you it does. But it's to show people that Jesus in your life. That's why we can baptize in a tub, in a pickup truck. That's why later on in the summer, we can go to Derek Lanise's house, baptize in their swimming pool. I'll put you on the spot, but we can, right? Amen, yeah. You know, so that's why if we find a heated swimming pool somewhere, we can go there. That's why if we need to borrow another church, because we don't have a baptistry here, we can. We just go and baptize. That's why. Because it's this symbol. It's this awesome symbol of Jesus dying on the cross. And somebody will say, well, Kenny, I was maybe sprinkled. And I appreciate that. And I know that was your way of trying to be obedient. But let me just help you with this. The biblical model of baptism is submersion. It is going under and out. And we see that in the scripture. Jesus went down in the water, came out of the water. The Ethiopian eunuch, down in the water, out of the water. The word itself means to dip, submerge, or immerse. I mean, this is what we have. This is baptism. So I want you to see that. It doesn't save you, but it's a powerful symbol. It is wonderful. It's amazing. Third, I want you to catch this. Baptism is a cause for rejoicing. Now, I love how the passage goes. It says, verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer. But he went on his way, say this word with me, rejoicing. Here's what's awesome about baptism. It says a whole lot. It says that this person was a sinner that needed Jesus, and that Jesus loved this person no matter what they did. What they've done, where they've been, Jesus loved them enough to die, be buried, and raise again for them. And they're saved. And when a person is baptized and they come out of that water, and you can just see them dripping, the symbolism is there too, that they were once this type of person, and now they're this type of person, and they look physically different when they're wet. A symbol of what God has done in your life. You're different spiritually. And He's changed you. And this is good news. And I love it when we baptize people at Life Community. You all start to clap and you woohoo. Can I encourage you to do something? Don't stop doing that. Can we agree with that today? And we baptize people, don't stop woohooing. Don't stop clapping. Don't stop celebrating. Because can I tell you why? A person getting saved never gets old. Never gets old. It's awesome. It's awesome. It never gets old. I encourage you today to do that. And let me tell you this. If some of you all are going to get baptized in the future, I know you are. I want you to do something when you get baptized, okay? I want you to think about how much you've been forgiven, okay? I want you to think about heaven being your home. I want you to think about this new family he's given you, a church family that he's given you. I want you to think about how he's going to use you in this church family. And I promise you that when you go in those baptism waters and that's on your mind about how good Jesus is and how good God is, and you go under that water and you come out, I guarantee you, you're going to come out fist pumping yourself. I encourage, if you take the plunge, to woohoo on your way out. To woohoo on your way out. Because it's good stuff. It's amazing what God can do. Don't you be ashamed. You come out of that water screaming, yelling, rejoicing, because this is about what Jesus has done for you. It's okay. It's okay for what he's done. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just telling you, when churches stop baptizing people, they die. The joy of the Lord just sucks right out of that place. Because baptism makes us so happy. People getting saved, so happy. And if you've ever been in a dead, dying, dormant church, they're not fun. That's why we put Life Community on the name of this church. We want you to grow like a weed out of the ground into something beautiful. That's the whole purpose of our logo. We lots of weeds, but God's making us something beautiful. And he's growing you. He's growing you. And he's going to do something wonderful with that. Guys, we need to keep telling people about Jesus. We need to keep bringing our lost loved ones to church with us. We need to share with them. We need to take them out to dinner with us. If you see new people here in the congregation that you don't know, Life, I'm talking to Life Community people, go ask them to go eat lunch with you after church. Have them at your house. Love on them. Let them know that we are a loving church. You know, invite them over. Get to know them. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Because baptism is a cause for rejoicing. And as we build the church, as Jesus builds the church, he builds the church and people are saved. That's the best way to grow a church is through conversion, people accepting Jesus. I want to tell you, I was 7 years old when I was baptized. My grandfather baptized me at a little church called, at the time it was known as Parish Avenue Baptist Church here in Owensboro. And I remember stepping into that baptistry and I remember him standing there next to me. He was in the water with me. And I remember that they had dimmed the lights in the auditorium and all the lights were on the baptism. So I couldn't see anybody. This is my memory of this. I couldn't see anybody out there. And I was a little dude. And I remember if you've ever seen a church with a baptistry, there's normally a glass there to stop the water from spilling out. I remember just looking through and I wasn't even very, very tall enough to look out in, you know, over it. I think of Emily McCoy and then Brent, you know, when we baptized them, they almost got submersed when they stepped in the tub the other day. You know, it went right up to their chin, you know. And I remember that when I was a kid and I took the plunge and my grandfather asked me, he said, Kenny, do you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior? And I said out loud, I do. I do. And I remember his hand cupping over my mouth and holding my nose. I remember that. And I remember the sensation of going down in the water and coming out of the water. Just happened just like that, but it felt like an eternity going under that water and coming up. But you know what? As joyful as my baptism was, I could not have been baptized unless it was just a few weeks earlier when I prayed to ask Christ in my heart in my living room as my mother helped me to know who Jesus was. You know, we've had a lot of excitement at Life Community, and if there's one thing that's been tough, it's how we baptize because we don't have a baptistry here. And in wintertime, we have to go somewhere else. I mean, it's just by force we have to. It's just not an option. We got to do what we got to do. Summer's coming so we can haul pickup trucks full of water and all that fun stuff, all that we can do, go to swimming pools and all that fun stuff. But not all of you guys could see everybody who was baptized when they were baptized. It's just by the nature of the traveling. So I thought it would be neat today for you all to get to see every single person that we baptized. Go ahead, Michael. And that was our first baptism. We baptized Ariana, and we baptized her at the Logsden Center. And our very first one, go to the next one, that was Allie. And you can't see her. That's the only picture I had of her, but we baptized her at 8 Memorial. And there's Michael taking the plunge, and we got a good one of him coming out. That one looked awesome. And we got a next one. That was Michael's daughter, Rebecca. We baptized her, and there's Aaron right there taking the plunge, man, taking the plunge. Another good one, Aaron. That's his wife, Courtney. We look at her, pointing to her heart. She has Jesus in her life. Isn't that awesome? And that was Katie Beth. We baptized her And there was Amanda. Amanda's here somewhere. Gave her that. There she is. Hey, right here. There it was. That's her husband, Michael, another good one, in the plunge, man, taking the plunge. And that was Brandy, who, by the way, came to Christ because Amanda had come to Christ and invited Brandy. Isn't that awesome how that works? Why God does? And there's Nathan, and then his brother Austin is coming up, and there they are, and then keep going. And there's Jasmine. Here's the family, and there's Tanya. Isn't that awesome? Whole family getting baptized. Amazing. There's Hannah. Hannah's over there. We baptized. Yes, she's raised her hand. There I am. I got baptized. Keep going. And then just a couple weeks ago, there's Brent and there's Emily. Isn't God awesome what he's doing? Isn't God awesome? And just amazing what he's doing. I believe that's 17 people that we've baptized since the church has launched. 17 people. And we praise God for that. But here's the deal. He ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. He ain't done yet. So I want to challenge you. Maybe today you're here. You've never given your life to Jesus, okay? It's time to do that. Again, water baptism does not save you. It doesn't save you. Water doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. Jesus saves you. So maybe today you've never given your heart to Christ. He loves you no matter where you've been, what you've done. Boy, he loves you. Boy, he's got a plan for you. He does. He's got a plan for you. So maybe today there's somebody here that needs to say, Kenny, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's the first step. But maybe today you have given your life to Christ, but you've never followed through with believer's baptism. And you need to come forward today and say, Kenny, I need baptism. I'm saved, but I've never been scripturally, biblically baptized after I gave my life to Jesus. Maybe I was dipped 7 or 8, 9, 12 times before I got saved, but it wasn't genuine because he wasn't in my heart. It's my decision to be baptized in believer's baptism. Maybe that's you today, to come forward and to say, Jesus is in my life. And I'm being and what's cool is that, you know, when a person comes out of the baptism waters, all those people around them clapping and woo-hooing, their new church family, baptized in the kingdom, but also in a church family that they get when they come out of that water, church family as well. It's pretty awesome. All those people to surround them and love them. So I challenge you today to evaluate where you are. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Do you need to follow through with baptism? Maybe today you do. You know, when we sing and when we have this time, we call it an invitation time or an altar call, the different words for it. But it's a chance for you to respond and to act upon what you just heard through the sermon. So it's a time maybe you need to come and say, Kenny, I need Jesus, or I need to be baptized, or we need to be part of the church. And you come forward and you tell me, or maybe you just have this, the sermon touched you with how God has spoke to your life, and you just need to come pray. Just fall down somewhere and just say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for, that's okay too. So I don't know how you need to react today, but I challenge you to do what God has called you to do. Father, we love you, and we thank you for who you are. And God, in this time right now, we pray that you'll help people to make decisions. Decisions to follow you, decisions to live for you. And God, as we look at the awesome picture of baptism, we are reminded that Jesus died for us on an old rugged cross. His blood was shed. He went into that ground, and 3 days later, he came back to life. So, Father, in this moment now, we invite you to be here and to speak to us. As we take a small step towards baptism today, we pray that your Spirit would lead us, guide us, and teach us. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we come?